Imagine, stepping into a classroom where a huge portion of your students are dealing with severe poverty, and the shadow of the recent apartheid regime is still hanging heavy, plus an HIV epidemic is sweeping through the community.
Yeah, it's an overwhelming reality.
Right. And your job description isn't just to teach math. You are expected to basically rebuild the entire nation right from that room.
Okay, let's unpack this, because today we are doing a deep dive into the South African government's 2000 norms and standards for educators.
Which honestly reads less like a dry policy document and more like, a blueprint for forging a real-life superhero out of an ordinary teacher.
It really does.
It's just an incredibly ambitious framework. Like, published just 6 years into South Africa's new democracy, the government realized they couldn't just hand a teacher a textbook and say, well, go teach. They needed to completely redefine human competence to handle the sheer gravity of that post-apartheid environment.
Right, and they tackled that by focusing first on the how rather than just the what. They built everything around this core concept of applied competence.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is how they shattered that old idea of just knowing your subject. They split this applied competence into three pillars. First, practical competence, which is the physical ability to actually do the job.
The everyday skills, yeah.
Right. Second, foundational competence, meaning you understand the deep academic theory behind why you're doing it. And third, the absolute game changer, reflexive competence.
Which is the ability to merge theory and practice to adapt when everything around you suddenly goes wrong. So, to use an everyday analogy, is this like a master chef?
Oh, I like that. How so?
Well, the practical competence is physically chopping the onions and searing the meat. The foundational competence is knowing the chemical reactions of heat and protein.
Okay, sure.
But the reflexive competence is knowing how to rescue the dinner service when, say, the oven explodes and you've lost half your ingredients.
Exactly. And to take that chef analogy a step further, reflexive competence is realizing the guests at table four have severe food allergies and just inventing a completely new dish on the fly.
Wow, yeah.
In the classroom, it's what stops a teacher from blindly following a lesson plan when the kids in front of them are visibly traumatized or starving. It forces constant real-time adaptation.
Which perfectly explains why they needed that extreme adaptability. And here's where it gets really interesting. Because this policy legally demands educators wear 7 highly distinct hats.
They own the hats, yeah.
They aren't just a learning mediator.
Yeah.
They are a designer of programs, a leader, an assessor. Honestly, looking at this list, I don't buy it.
Too much.
Way too much.
Yeah.
How can one single human being act as a rigid subject specialist while simultaneously serving as a community, citizenship, and pastoral guide? It sounds like a recipe for immediate burnout.
Well, this raises an important question about realistic expectations versus societal necessity. The policy deliberately positions the specialist role as the overarching umbrella.
Okay, meaning what?
Meaning you are a math specialist, yes, but you deliver that math through the other roles. The pastoral role wasn't an optional extracurricular. It was a survival mechanism for the society.
Because of everything happening outside the school.
Precisely. The policy explicitly required teachers to integrate HIV and AIDS education and constitutional values into their daily interactions because of those systemic crises right outside the school gates.
So you literally can't teach the algebra equation if you're ignoring the fact that the student's family was just devastated by illness. The pastoral care is the vehicle that makes the math lesson even possible.
Exactly. It was nation building disguised as a teaching framework.
But let's look at the logistics of this. Nobody walks into their first day of work possessing all 7 of those incredibly complex skills.
Mm.
How did the government actually plan to manufacture these super teachers from the ground up?
They recognized that upskilling an entire workforce required a completely new architecture. If we connect this to the bigger picture, South Africa implemented the National Qualifications Framework, or NQF.
And that's totally different from a normal degree system, right?
Right. Instead of traditional degrees where you just pass or fail after 4 rigid years, the NQF is a modular ladder built on credits. Think of a single credit as a standard unit of learning time, roughly 10 hours of work.
So it breaks down this massive, intimidating super teacher goal into, digestible, trackable pieces.
Yes. And why is that crucial for a developing nation? Because it democratizes access. A prospective teacher might only have the resources to start with a 120 credit certificate.
Which gives them the introductory practical and foundational skills to get into a classroom safely.
Exactly. Later, as they work, they can stack more modules. stepping up to a 240-credit diploma, eventually reaching a 480-credit Bachelor of Education.
They're essentially leveling up their competence as they go.
Yep. The bachelor level is where that crucial reflexive competence is fully demanded, proving you can make complex judgments across widely different contexts. It changes education from an elitist gatekeeping system into a flexible pipeline.
So if you have to drop out to care for a sick family member, you don't lose everything.
Exactly. You keep your credits and resume climbing the ladder when you can.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? We aren't all rebuilding a nation's school system from scratch. But the logic behind this modular, flexible approach to lifelong learning, stacking skills over a career rather than relying on a single piece of paper from your 20s, is a brilliant blueprint anyone can use to stay relevant and resilient.
It really is a powerful reminder that true expertise isn't a static destination. You are always refining your ability to understand, to act, and to adapt to your environment.
Think back to that superhero blueprint. If your own profession mapped out its roles and required competencies this clearly, demanding not just your practical day-to-day skills, but your deep foundational understanding and your reflexive ability to adapt to absolute chaos, how differently would you approach your job tomorrow?